on the road to Emmaus. Some of the things that I pray for in this church for each of you are a whole bunch of words that start with the letter D. And you go, oh, besides Dave. The letter D is disappointment, down, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, and death. Do you relate to any of those words? You go, I don't know. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, and death. I've pretty much felt all of those. I think many of you can raise your hands and go, yeah, I've been there too. I have felt those words too. But if you look at the road to Emmaus, this story, those two disciples, now they were not the inner circle disciples, but they were certainly followers of Christ. They were filled with discouragement and despondency and disillusionment because they're going, we don't understand what happened. So Cleopas, who's one of the two, this is really the only mention of this gentleman. There is later on mention of Cleopas again, but they don't think it's the same person as far as in one of the other writings. But they were downhearted. They're confused. They don't understand because they're going, Jesus was there to set them free from the Romans. So that tells you that the mission that Christ had had for 3 years was severely misunderstood by his followers. It was only at the communion table, his crucifixion and his resurrection, that the disciples started to understand it. The inner circle disciples started to understand it. The rest of them, they saw him as a political figure because his kingship, what was some of the things that came out of Isaiah and Psalms and some of the other ones? He's there. He's there to put his enemies under his feet as a footstool. And that's out of Psalms. But he is not there as a political figure. He is there as the leader, as the king, as the savior of all creation. More than just the earth. More than just that part of the Middle East that they knew at the time. Jesus had been put horribly to death. I talked about this last Sunday. Being put on the tree, being put on the cross was the most barbaric way to have death. For your sentence of death from the Romans. Now his body lay dead in this tomb. They were dashed. The two disciples on Emmaus, their hopes were dashed. The dream was over. They heard the report. The women had reported that morning. Jesus is risen. But it didn't click for them. They were so discouraged. They were so disillusioned. It didn't click. Hope. How many of you have hope in things? Hope in your future. Hope in your life. Hope that you have a few more years to live. For those of us over 15, we go, well, let's hope we make it. I look at my mom. She's 101. I think right now she's just hoping she doesn't live another year or two. I say that kiddingly. I want my mom to live forever. But I go, I'm sure she's hoping for when she dies. It's kind of like in her sleep. That's hope. But there's hope of school. There's hope of a good job. There's hope of what kind of a family am I going to have. There's hope of a future. They were dashed. They were dashed for these guys. Hope is a very fragile thing. When I first started at ILF, I was full of hope. I was full of encouragement. I was full of attitude. I had plenty of attitude. And then it crashed for 4 years because I needed to go through therapy. My hope was gone. And then all of a sudden, this last summer, the Lord started changing all that around. He started giving me hope. He started doing things, moving in my life that would say, you're going back to school, Dave. You're going to go back and you're going to finish your schooling. You're going to get ordained. But you had to go through this healing. Although these disciples of that time, they had their hope dashed, but they needed Christ to come back to them. And that's what he did. Okay, the story itself There's four parts of this story. The first one is the meeting. They're walking along. They're just chatting. They're being very sad. And now all of a sudden, the stranger comes out of nowhere. Jesus comes out of nowhere and just starts talking to him. Hey, what's going on? And their reply to him is, are you the only one here in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's going on? So they begin this conversation. The third part of this is the meal, and then they return to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the road to Emmaus, I forget that it's only 7.5 miles long as far as Emmaus is to the northwest of Jerusalem, the actual location of this little town. So you're talking a conversation. If they're only walking, say, 2 to 3 miles an hour, it's only going to take them 2 hours. It's only going to take them 2.5 hours to get there. But can you imagine what it would be like to have this stranger who has covered their eyes, so to speak, so they don't recognize him? And Jesus takes the time to explain to them the whole story of why he had to be there. Here's the word. Here's what happened, starting with the writing of Moses. And then he goes right on through. And oh, by the way, if you go to John 1, what's John 1 verses 1 through 5 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Here they had the living God walking with them, and they didn't know it. If I'd have known that was Jesus on the spot, me personally, I'd have been laying on the ground. And I'd have stayed there for, I don't know, 30 or 40,000 years. Because I go, I'm in front of the living God. Don't kill me. Yeah, I deserve death. How many of you think in the Old Testament you'd have all been goners? Well, don't shake your head. Put your hand up there because, yeah, we're all guilty of this. We're all goners. We've all done things that you look at the Old Testament or even in the New Testament. I go, oh, there's a good thing there's forgiveness because we are all doomed otherwise. We're all in serious trouble. But I jump ahead. The stranger, Jesus, starts talking to them. And what does it say in one of the verses? It says, this was after the meal. They go, were not our hearts warmed within us? So there was already the signs of Jesus talking to them. He was already giving them encouragement and hope. He was already giving them truth. But they did not see it yet. They just knew that there was this warmth. John Wesley talked about that on the night that he got saved there at Aldersgate. He said, I felt this warming in my heart. I knew Jesus had saved me. I knew I was in the presence of God. They had felt the same thing 1,700 years earlier. So they have the conversation. Now they go to have the meal. He breaks the bread. He blesses it. He gives it to them. And about the time that they're breaking the bread, it's like the spiritual scales fall off their eyes. And they now see Jesus. They recognize Jesus. And what's Jesus do? What's Jesus do? Okay, see ya. Out of here. Gone. He takes off, goes somewhere else. He made 4 or 5 visits like this where he makes these appearances. The other times, there's one where he's with Peter and John on the beach. There's one where he meets with doubting Thomas. There's one where he meets with all the disciples. And certainly with the women when in that morning when he first rises. So there's the events. We don't know where else he goes. So as a little side note for trivia, there are interesting comments about a person in the very beginning of different nations, whether it be Japan, which really has an interesting story about did Jesus visit them during this time? Same with China. So for those of us, for those of you that are historians and want to do a little research and want to analyze and everything, go look it up and see what their ancient histories are. So let me read you something here that for the two disciples. They experienced something of the grace of God because of his love, Jesus' love. For his despondent disciples, he graciously came and met them on the road to Emmaus. Graciously, he cleared away the fog of confusion. He showed them the heart of God, his plan of salvation, and then he revealed himself to them. He was alive, risen, from the dead. In your own walk, in your own personal walk, I want you to look inside yourselves here for a minute. What occurrences have you had in your own walk where you're despondent, you're discouraged, you're disillusioned, but yet there's this little warming going on inside your heart that says, I think I've been in the presence of God. I've been in the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is carrying me along by the hand. Those of you that remember, it's the poem Footsteps, where, and we've seen it, comes in different forms, but it's one set of footprints on the sand. It's not you. It's Christ carrying you. And that's a very hard concept to understand, because we think in our own minds, I got it. I can do this. I've got it figured out. It's going to work this way. When was the last time you had your plan work your way? It doesn't. However, and I've had lots of plans. I'm one of those people who got lots of plans, and I'm still waiting for any of them to really come to fruition. But you have your plans. But if you put it into the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, I give this to you, it'll work. Let's go to Proverbs 16. I love Proverbs 16. Go to Proverbs 16. Okay, Proverbs 16:3. Who wants to read Proverbs 16:3? Elizabeth. Proverbs 16:3. Stand up and read it loud for everybody.
Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed.
Okay. You're off to a good start there. Why don't you also read verse 9?
In his heart, the man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps.
Very good. Thank you very much for volunteering to read that. I really appreciate that. Okay, so here's how my version, I've got the NESV, says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I've shared these verses with you before. It's a case of when you're trying to walk in the Lord, in the ways of the Lord, look to these. You go, this is what I want to do. But establish it with the Lord. You're not asking God for his permission, per se. What you're doing is you're asking him to bless you, to guide you, to carry you. And that's what Jesus was doing back with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He was filling them with hope. He was saying, okay, you guys are really down, but here's really what happened. So he meets them on the road. They have the discussion. He breaks the bread. And then he vanishes. And then after that, what do the two disciples do? They ran back. Now, fortunately, we're not talking like a marathon. We're talking these 7 miles or 7.5 miles back. And they talk to the disciples and say, here's what happened. So look at the road to Emmaus and this story as the Christian walk. Each of you is one of those two disciples. The story is about ordinary despair. Ordinary, I know we've all been here, the Monday morning drudgery. Anybody been there? Whether you work graveyard, swing shift, day shift, whatever it is, your Monday morning back to work can be drudgery. You're going, oh, man, it's Monday. And then you hit Wednesday. What's the nickname for Wednesday? Hump day. And you're starting to dance a little bit. You're a little bit happier. And then Friday rolls around, and what are you thinking on Friday? Yeah, I'm out of here. You're going, I'm not counting down. I'm not watching the clock, but yeah, I sure am watching the clock. But you have that hope. You have that enjoyment. You have the enthusiasm, because now your life is coming back to you in your mind for that weekend. That's no different. For our disciples, your life, like theirs, you've had hope, despair. Betty? Oh, I thought you were volunteering Elizabeth again for something. Okay. It's all right, you know. We got the whole Bywater family back there. So, God wants you to shuck the despair. Get rid of the disillusionment and the discouragement. And sometimes that unbelief really affects your walk. And that's really what was going on with these two disciples. It wasn't just the D's, it was also the U of unbelief, because they couldn't figure out what it was all about. Okay. So here we are 2,000 years later. The story of Emmaus is just as alive today. The meaning of it is just as alive today as it was then. Jesus is walking with us. Jesus is risen from the dead. That's what the last week's celebration was all about. He is the Savior and the hope of the world. Let him be your Savior. Let him be your hope today and tomorrow and the next day. When your road, your own personal Emmaus road, is filled with discouragement and dismay, then that's a good time to stop, close your eyes, and just pray. And ask the Lord to fill you. Or you give me a call. I'll pray for you over the phone. Or come to the office. I'll pray for you. Or I'll come to your place. I'll pray for you. I'll even drive to Orem and come down and visit. So it doesn't matter to me. And you know me. I'll bring my oil. I'll bring my half gallon of olive oil. But it's a lot easier to walk with the little one. Let God's companionship be with you. Hold your hands out and go, I want the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Well, Lord, we thank you very much that you are indeed here this morning. Father, take away our discouragement. Take away our fears. Take away our disillusionment. Take away the destruction that we feel at times within our souls. Lord, instead, fill us with your victory. Fill us with your love. Lord, as we go out this day, let us be full of the joy of the Lord. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's have, if I could have two of you come forward, let's do offering.